Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Road to Recovery group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Lawrence, and I'm an alcoholic. Would everyone please turn off their mobile phones or switch them to a silent profile, and please try to keep disruptions to a minimum. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. In support of AA's singleness of purpose, we respectfully ask that when sharing, our sharing be confined to alcoholics, and when discussing our problems, we confine ourselves to those problems as they relate to alcoholism. There may be visitors here who are unfamiliar with our tradition of anonymity. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and television. This tradition is a constant reminder that personal ambition has no place in AA. We are sure that anonymity is the greatest safeguard AA can ever have. We therefore seek your cooperation in protecting the anonymity of our members at public level. The format of tonight's meeting will be 3 10-minute speakers followed by a fourth speaker until approximately 8:30. The meeting will then be open to the floor and closed at 9 o'clock. Can we please have a moment's silence to remember Tradition 5? Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Thank you. And now Mike is going to read Chapter 5.
Good evening, I'm Mike and I'm an alcoholic. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They're not at fault, they seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he was sought.
Well, thank you to our first three speakers. I'd now like to introduce tonight's final speaker, and that's David.
I'm David, I'm an alcoholic. Thanks for all your free shares, amazing shares, and welcome to anyone that's new here tonight. Welcome to my home group. It's been my home group. I mean, I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous 25 years today, and mate, I was a person that weren't set out for this thing, do you know what I mean? I kind of spent half my life in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know what I mean? When I was younger, I didn't sort of dream about being an alcoholic, do you know what I mean? It weren't like on my list, do you know what I mean? It's like, I used to live in this place called Black Plinth Road, which is in Lambeth, which is literally just around the corner from the River Thames, you know what I mean? And when I was a young boy, I used to walk down there, I used to walk around, and I used to go to school, and you know, I had quite a good upbringing. My mum and dad were Catholics, and they used to try and take me to church, and I would sort of go to school, and for some reason I had this anxiety about me, even from an early age, you know what I mean? I used to worry about things, you know what I mean? I never felt sort of comfortable in my own sort of skin, and you know, so that thinking was there from before I even took a drink, you know what I mean? I was kind of living in my head a little bit, do you know what I mean? And I used to go to school, and for some reason I used to like to, I'd go to church, I'd go to confession, I'd do like 10 Hail Marys, whatever I needed to do, and then I would want to misbehave, you know what I mean? If the teacher went out of the classroom, I'd want to sort of go through a handbag and start trying to nick her money. So, you know, I was never right in my mind, do you know what I mean? And, you know, I went from being a goofy, you know, I used to have some really bad teeth when I was a kid, you know what I mean? And it used to stick out quite badly, and my nose used to just run constantly, do you know what I mean? It was like, so my nickname was Bogey Nose. So I was quite self-conscious as a kid, do you know what I mean? And like, so I went from being like that, I started playing, I remember I used to play in the playground with a tennis ball. I became so good with a tennis ball, I could header it and kick it. I remember looking in the big playground out there when I was only about 7, I think, at the time. And all the other kids were playing in the big playground, and I remember going into that playground and like being able to play football, and I started playing when I was in the first year, for the third years and the fourth years. And then my mates got into sort of, you know, Lacoste t-shirts. I was only about 7 or 8, and I used to say to my mum, "You've got to buy me a Lacoste t-shirt." You know what I mean? My mates had got Lacoste t-shirts, and there was 5 of us, and we didn't have much money. And then I said to my mum, "You've got to buy me a pair of kickers. My mates have got kickers, I need kickers." And so I went from having nothing to having a pair of kickers, having a wedge haircut, a Lacoste t-shirt, and that was it. I thought I was a right geezer, do you know what I mean? It was like, you know, and then the music come along was like two-tone. I remember like getting into like having a skinhead and getting into Bad Manners and Madness and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, and it just seemed like I became this person, you know what I mean? From being this really shy sort of goofy kid, you know, just kind of tried to transform myself and my mates, you know, I really, you know, I had all these group of mates and, you know, I'd get into sort of, you know, trouble. For some reason, I'd get to school and I'd get bored. I was bored very easily, so I just start to misbehave. The teacher went out of the room, I'd start throwing things at people, and I thought it was a funny thing to do, and then they'd throw things back at me and then we'd get into a fight and, you know, I just kind of find it hard to study. Do you know what I mean? I was always looking out the window, thinking what else is going on in the world. I was a real big kind of daydreamer, and again, this was before I even drunk, and so I was always not very right. And you know, and by the age of 10, we moved to a place called Brixton, which my mum never wanted to move to. She said, but there's such a nice house there. I moved there, and it was quite a rough era. Do you know what I mean? I used to come back from the tube station, get into trouble with other kids, and I remember one year, it was back in the 80s, and there was like, I remember sitting on this roof and there was loads of fire coming from the main part of Brixton, and it was like loads of smoke and there was sirens and helicopters, and I was like, what the hell's going on here? So it was like one big party to me, do you know what I mean? Because I liked the idea of the excitement of it all, and there was like police everywhere and it's just chaos, you know what I mean? People throwing petrol bombs, and at that time, I used to say to my mates, hopefully there's going to be another riot, because it was amazing, do you know what I mean? And it was like the best thing that happened in my area, do you know what I mean? And it was kind of, I liked the idea of that chaos, you know what I mean? It made me feel sort of quite excited about it all. And, you know, eventually I started drinking, do you know what I mean? I remember the first drink I had was my mates had, his mum and dad had a party, and it was a Sunday evening. And I remember going into the, he'd left all this alcohol about, so we put all these drinks together. And I just necked all this alcohol, and you know, a few hours later, I was up in back at home. The room was spinning. I was being really sick, and my mum was saying to me, "You know, what's happened to you?" I said, "You know, what, you know." And I always lied. You know, what I mean, for me, it was easier to tell a lie than it was to tell the truth. I found it hard to be honest. Do you know what I mean? It was just the way I was, and so I remember just being really ill, and my mum kept me off for 2 days, so she didn't know if she was going to call an ambulance. You know, she was really, really like concerned about me. And I went back to school and I said to my mates, I said, like, I didn't have the flu when I was off. I said, I got drunk and it was amazing and we should all do it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, so I was always trying to think about that next sort of time of getting drunk, and it never sort of taught me a lesson. And so, yeah, eventually it got to a point where, you know, I was in my early 20s and I was in a state that these guys were talking about. I was just completely, my life had just completely spiraled out of control. It says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, there's one more attempt, one more failure. And I just wish for the end, like, you know, I didn't want to be that person no more. And I just hated the way I was. You know what I mean? I used to think to myself, if I always lived in this lifestyle, or if I ever had any happiness in my life, it seemed like a long time ago. You know, it's always the darkest before the dawn. And I just wished for the end, and I just thought to myself, I really don't want to be this person no more. I was so sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, and the alcohol stopped working. Do you know what I mean? It stopped, you know, the effect of alcohol stopped working. I couldn't sleep at night, and I just felt this loneliness that only few do. And I said a simple prayer. I kind of left God behind when I was a kid. Do you know what I mean? I just didn't want to be part of that anymore. And I remember just thinking to myself, please get me out of this. And I remember it was, you know, that summer, 94, when I really hit rock bottom. Do you know what I mean? I'd come back from Italy. I'd been in Italy for a month. I had an amazing time at that time. But I remember being back in the streets in Brixton where I used to live and just being there and thinking, I don't want to be around these people no more. I hate being around these people. And I don't, you know, I don't want to be myself anymore. And I said a simple prayer. I ended up coming down to Plymouth on November the 1st, 1994. And I arrived, I went to a treatment centre. I spent near enough 18 months in there. I was told when I left there that you need to go to AA. I was in there, I remember just sort of feeling so bad, because after a while, my problem starts when I stop drinking. You know what I mean? Because I suffer from alcoholism. You know, if you're new here, you know, alcoholism is our problem. Do you know what I mean? It's not so much the drinking, it's about the thinking and how we feel about things. And I remember just saying to the counsellor, and I said, you can't help me, you need to call me a priest, do you know what I mean? And they brought a priest in, and I'd done a sort of, like a mini step five with this guy, and the room literally lit up, do you know what I mean? And I remember thinking, my God, something's happened there. You know what I mean? It was like an energy around the room. And that lasted for about a week. And I went back into that treatment centre. And said, they said, what's happened to you? I said, you won't believe me if I told you anyway. Do you know what I mean? But after a period of time, I came out of there. That light had gone. And I started coming to AA. And, you know, I turned up at this meeting. I mean, I heard a lot of bad press about it. Thank you, Wayne, for being my sponsor. You know, you've been an absolute star to me. And, you know, this group as a whole, mate, it's been, you know, the best thing that's ever happened to me. Do you know what I mean? And I arrived at this group, around a group of people that normally weren't mixed together. Do you know what I mean? I met from, you know, different walks of life. I started off in another fellowship, do you know what I mean? And I came here, and funny enough, it was that big book, you know what I mean? People sharing about, you know, about their thinking, about things that happened, you know, when they drink and the allergy of alcohol and these defects of character. And I identified with people like more like John and Wayne and Alexis and Mario, God rest his soul, you know what I mean? People like that, they were just talking about the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know what I mean? And I was inspired to take the actions, and I knew I had, you know, if I left to my own devices, you know, I'd probably destroy my life all over again, which I will. I'm like, I'm programmed to self-destruct, you know what I mean? I'm a person that I need someone else to manage my life, you know what I mean? I can't manage. People used to say to me, can you manage that? And if I was really truthful, I'd be able to say, no, I can't, you know what I mean? I can't manage anything, really, you know what I mean? I couldn't manage, so, you know, it says about our lives being unmanageable. And that's what a lot of people don't really understand when they come to Alcoholics Anonymous. They don't want to be told what to do. They feel like they want to be in control of their own lives and they need to be in control of their own destiny. You know what I mean? You know, you can't tell me what to do. But if you don't follow the suggestions, alcoholism will be telling you what to do. It'll be having you out there, like Steve saying, you know, living on street corners. You know what I mean? Drinking yourself to death. That's what's really controlling you. Do you know what I mean? Sponsors haven't got time to phone people up and say, have you done your suggestions today? You know, make sure you're hungry. My sponsor wanted me to take responsibility for my own life. He gave me the suggestions and said, you know, you need to get on with it. Do you know what I mean? It's down to you. Do you know what I mean? You know, I can't make you do anything. Do you know what I mean? It's the actual, you know, it has to come from you. And I kind of saw that. You know what I mean? My sponsor said to me, you know, this is what you need to do. You need to be at your home group. You need to get involved. You need to just throw yourself completely into this simple program. You know what I mean? And, like your life depends on it, because it did, you know what I mean? And I knew I had a little bit of common sense left. If I realised that if I had anything to do with my life, I was going to absolutely destroy it. Do you know what I mean? I burned my life to the ground so badly, it was unrecognisable. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, that's me running my own life. You know what I mean? So I could kind of see that. And my sponsor was just giving me simple guidance. And he's probably the most sanest person I've ever met in Alcoholics Anonymous. Do you know what I mean? He had a normal life. And he just, you know, just wanted me to get better. He wanted the best for me. Do you know what I mean? When I sponsor people today, it's not about just taking them through the steps. I can see the potential in people. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, it's not about being on the dole and things like that. It's about getting a full life. You know what I mean? This ain't a dress rehearsal for life. Life will just go by. Do you know what I mean? I've been here 25 years. It's gone so quickly, man. Do you know what I mean? So don't, you know, don't waste your time. You know what I mean? The only person that's getting in the way is yourself. You know what I mean? And so my sponsor just made it clear to me, you know what I mean? It's like, you need to do these suggestions, you know what I mean? And you'll get better. And, you know, I remember going through the steps, especially step 4 and 5, I remember sharing that stuff with him. And it's the most pathetic, silly little things that used to wind me up. But, you know what I mean? They used to wind me up, you know what I mean? And I was the great pretender. I had this perception that people had to see me in a certain way. This was me, you know what I mean? And I was like, and really, it was just a game. You know, I didn't know who I was. You know what I mean? And I was always doing other people's thinking for them. You know what I mean? And that few hours sharing that stuff with my sponsor on Dartmoor, you know, it just leveled my pride to a certain degree. Where he said to me, he said, things will get better on from now on. And you know, he made me a promise, and that's been the truth. You know what I mean? It's been the absolute truth. You know, and this is a no foul program. You know what I mean? This is the best deal you'll ever get in your life for an alcoholic. Do you know what I mean? You know, we wouldn't be sitting here week in, week out, like Mike says, on these uncomfortable chairs, you know, talking rubbish. You know what I mean? This is real. This happens. I've seen people's lives transform in a matter of weeks. You know what I mean? Their lives take off for the better and, you know, reunite with their families and get on with their jobs and become better people. Do you know what I mean? In society. You know, this is, you can't get this anywhere else. You know what I mean? This is better than winning any lottery ticket. Do you know what I mean? This is the, you know, the best thing you'll ever get. You know what I mean? And, you know, I've seen people come here and, like, start to get the first stage of it. You know what I mean? And you see a sparkle come back in their lives. You know what I mean? In their eyes. And, you know, you can see their life taking off. And they disagree with something with their sponsor or something with their home group. Something's not going their way. And, you know, it seems to start to walk out the door. And I think, don't go. You don't need to go anywhere else. You know what I mean? You know, people make mistakes in alcoholics anonymous. You know what I mean? We haven't been here all this time when life's been going all right. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's the time, you know, the testing times sometimes come when things ain't going right in your life. You know what I mean? And you've got grief or you've got things that are going on. And that you still come back to your home group and still try and, you know, smarten up and try and help other people. Because, you know, feelings will pass. You know what I mean? That's the great news. You know what I mean? I used to wake up every day when I was drinking thinking, I don't stand a chance today. Do you know what I mean? That's just the way it was. You know what I mean? When I come into Alcoholics Anonymous, I've never woke up any morning and thinking, I've smashed my life up so much yesterday, I can't get out of bed today and go on. You know what I mean? I've been able to just jump out of bed, even when I'm feeling not great, do my prayers, put a smile on my face and still go to work. You know what I mean? And that's what this stuff does. This has got depth and weight. You know, this program will blow your mind. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I'm a salesman by sort of, you know, and I love chasing people around, trying to sell stuff to them if I can. Not chasing them around, but I just try and, it's the art of persuasion. You know what I mean? You've got to persuade people and kind of hypnotize them to a little bit. You know what I mean? But, you know, this program, this comes with a lifetime guarantee. You know what I mean? This comes with, you can live the best years of your life in Alcoholics Anonymous without a shadow of a doubt. Do you know what I mean? Because I've experienced it. Do you know what I mean? And I've seen countless other people in this group see that. You know what I mean? I've seen people go through, you know, health problems, marriage breakups. You know what I mean? All sorts of things. You know what I mean? But they still come back here, and it's been the most best health restorant I've ever had. Do you know what I mean? It's a great thing. And yeah, so my experience is that, you know, I kind of, you know, I came here, you know, and it was like, this group had a lot of bad press. My sponsor did, you know what I mean? And it's like, I met him and I thought, these guys ain't even met him and they're talking bad things about him, do you know what I mean? And, you know, I came here and it was, you know, it's just, people used to call me up, say, do you want to meet up for coffee? You know, and I used to go and they just surrounded me and helped me so I could help myself, do you know what I mean? That's what happens, you know, and this is the most equal opportunities place in the world. Do you know what I mean? We don't care what your problems are, where you come from. If you work the steps will sort you out. That's the shadow of that. You know what I mean? This is what happens here. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, I remember going back and making my amends to my parents. You know what I mean? And for years, I shockingly treated my mum and dad. Do you know what I mean? You know, my mum was probably the most perfect person in my life. Do you know what I mean? I've ever, you know, she's like such a forgiving, naturally forgiving person, and that she thinks about other people more about than herself. It's just natural for her to be that way. And you know, she kind of looked after me when I couldn't look after myself, and she used to say to me, you're sick, you know, you're not yourself, you know what I mean? And she used to wait for that phone call to find out that I was dead somewhere, do you know what I mean? Because that's where I was heading, you know what I mean? I was heading around that's that lonely lifestyle. And the people out there don't really care about you. Do you know what I mean? When you're drinking and using what I was doing as well, they really don't care about it. They can't care about themselves. Do you know what I mean? And my mum used to say, look, you know, you're going to be all right one day. And I remember going back and making amends to her. I said, Mum, you know, thank you for everything you've done for me. You know, you've been an absolute angel. And, you know, I don't think if someone treated me that badly at times, I would have been that forgiving. Do you know what I mean? I probably would have moved away a long time ago, because that's just the way I am. I'm not that forgiving as someone like that. And, you know, I made amends, and I remember, you know, going back and seeing my mum, you know, being a son that I was trying to be, you know, and I had a great relationship with my mum. My mum passed away 4 months ago. And, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to say to her, I used to say, Mum, you've got to stop smoking, because it's going to kill you. So I used to break her cigarettes up, and I said, when you die, I've got to go with you to heaven, Mum, because I can't live without you. And in the end, I was smoking her cigarettes because I started smoking. And when she died, it wasn't that bad. Do you know what I mean? You know, I could see the bigger picture. I held my mum's hand. I said goodbye to her. The funeral was difficult, but at the same time, I've got so much more in my life today that I can see the bigger picture. Like you were saying about perception, you know what I mean? It's like it's given me a new way of looking at things, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I love that thing what it says in the Just Say card, today I will get a better perspective of my life. And that's what these steps give you. Do you know what I mean? Because when you're in resentment or things are not going your way and you're kind of all like resentful, and, you know, once I take my inventory and pray about it and try and call other people and try and help other people, I can see things differently. Do you know what I mean? And that's, I refuse to have a bad day. Even the times when times weren't going my way, I've never had a bad day, as in, compared to my drinking. Do you know what I mean? You know, so, you know, it's a great life. And, you know, what I'd say about my home group, we are so, I'm not going to say lucky, we are so fortunate and blessed, all right? That's not the same as being lucky, to have a meeting like this, because over the years, you know, I've been able to turn up at this group and just get in line and be a small part of a big whole, and I'll just fit in. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's my kind of people here. Do you know what I mean? The people I want to be around in AA are found here. You know, it's like a fellowship, a real fellowship, you know what I mean, that you find here. The spirit in here is amazing. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, this can work for anyone. You know what I mean? It says in the chapter 5, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. You know, some of us try to hold on our old ideas, but we had to let go completely. Do you know what I mean? And that's it. You know, no one can buy that. You can't download it on an app. Do you know what I mean? You've got to do that yourself. You know what I mean? And it's through desperation. And I'm not a complete mug. You know what I mean? Like I said, I could see something going on here. My life wasn't working, you know, and I thought to myself, I want to feel good. Do you know what I mean? And the people in the meeting brought that big book to life. They had a smile about them. They had a freedom. You know, it wasn't about so much the money and materialistic things. It's about the way they were. Do you know what I mean? They had this peace about them, and they had this freedom, and they had this sparkle in their eyes. You know, it says there's something about, you know, something about these guys. And I just wanted to be like that. I wanted to be free. And you know, the good thing about this 12-step program, there's times I've been on the outside of meeting, looking in, thinking them guys are doing better than me again. Do you know what I mean? I'm not doing so good at the moment, but you can always reapply yourself to it. Do you know what I mean? And go back into the middle, and then you feel that spirit come back inside you, and then that life comes back in you. Start feeling that freedom again. So, you know, nothing's lost. Do you know what I mean? You can always, you know, do it again. You don't have to worry about sort of, you know, because I had a time when I was 8 years sober. I remember my life at the time, I perceived was falling apart, which it was to a certain degree. And I tried to leave this group, and I thought, I've got to go. I can't speak to my sponsor. You know, I'm supposed to be doing well. I had this perception in my mind, because I was part of the road to recovery. I was, you know, bulletproof. You know, nothing bad's going to happen to me. You know what I mean? Why is this happening to me? And I spoke to my sponsor. He said, who told you that? Who told you that? Do you know what I mean? I'd built it up in my own mind. That's the way I had to be, because I'm doing this stuff, nothing bad happens to you. Do you know what I mean? And I remember sitting here on my 8th year birthday next to my sponsor downstairs, sitting next to him thinking, I'm back home. You know what I mean? I couldn't even leave this group when I wanted to. Do you know what I mean? I was like on the run for 2 days in my flat thinking, where am I going to go? Do you know what I mean? And I came back here, and then my life took off again. It was like I had another chapter in my life. You know, it says in the big book, another phase of my development. And that's what happens. You develop as a, you know, person. Sometimes, you know, I go backwards. Sometimes I go forwards. You know what I mean? But, you know, there's so many great examples in this meeting over the years. And together, mate, we're a unit. You know what I mean? I love coming here. You know, and you know, I've experienced lots of good things. You know what I mean? My work life. I like what John talks about sometimes about work, because I always think, do you know what I mean? When I go into work, If I start blaming other people, but I like what John said about how do people put up with me sometimes, do you know what I mean? Because I can be a little bit of a nightmare as well, do you know what I mean? I can get in people's way at times, do you know what I mean? And I've got to consider that, like you're saying, you know, when you're driving and things like that, you know, you can see the bigger picture and think, well, I can be a bit like that, you know? And I've been able to succeed in my work, you know what I mean? I go to work today, and I remember my... when I first started there, one of the guys said to me, you don't earn enough money to be happy. Do you know what I mean? That's what he said to me, because I used to run in there, get paid hardly any money, and I was so enthusiastic. You know what I mean? They used to like, he's just, you know, and I used to think to myself, well, I don't need, it's not what I'm here. The money's good, don't get me wrong. I'm just grateful I had a job and someone gave me an opportunity to work. You know what I mean? And then from there, I just carried on and carried on. You know what I mean? And I've been successful in my job. You know what I mean? It's been good, you know, and I know the best years of my life lie ahead. You know what I mean? I'm excited about the future. Do you know what I mean? Where can you come for 25 years and still be excited about it? Do you know what I mean? Because it don't always work out that way, does it? You know, sometimes your job gets boring and other things can get boring as well. But I can come here, whatever's going on in the outside world, I can just adjust myself to what is. And You know, it's a great life and offer, and I'd like to thank Wayne again for being my sponsor. You know, you are in the best group in the world here. You know what I mean? If you're new here tonight, there's something so amazing. The only person that's getting in your way is yourself. You just need to give yourself to this program, and your life will completely change, and it will change so much for the better. You know what I mean? There's so many miracles in this meeting that probably should have been dead by now. I should have been dead years ago. You know what I mean? The stuff I was doing, I've been given a second chance. I feel like I've been reborn. You know what I mean? And I'll leave it there. Thank you.